This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. My name is David and today we are going to have a look at the Arsenal defence. Now, I am recording this in the middle of game week 15. So if you are watching or listening to this after the Wednesday night games, then do be aware, of course, that I have been recording this without the knowledge of those matches, but I'm hoping that won't be too much of an issue. I've actually chosen the Arsenal defence as a topic for today's video on podcast so that we can look at it in isolation. After Arsenal have played against Luton on Tuesday night, they of course won 4-3 in dramatic fashion. But how many of you out there predicted that Luton Town would manage to breach Arsenal's defence three times? Probably not very many of you. And it has been a few matches in a row now where we have seen the Arsenal defence kind of let down those who are invested in them. A lot of people have invested in the kind fixtures that they've had. There's been some challenging ones too, but there's certainly been some great fixtures that the Gunners have had over the last few weeks. And we expected a lot more in the way of clean sheets than we got. And there's a few fantasy managers out there wondering why that is. So I thought I'd take a closer look at the Arsenal defence over the last few matches, compare how they get on home versus away, and see if we can come to some sort of conclusion as to what to do with our Arsenal defenders as we head into the Christmas run. Now, a lot of this analysis is going to involve stuff from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. As ever, I am here to tell you that it is a fantastic time to sign up. You can use the 7-day free trial just to give it a bit of a test run. And if you like what you see, then you can get 20% off your packages that are available on the Fantasy Football Scout website, and you'll get all sorts of amazing stuff. And everything I'm going to show you here, I've obviously gone and built some of these tables myself, used some of the different filters that you can put on those tables, and then extrapolated them for your benefit. But if there are elements of this particular subject that you like to go and have a look and do your own research on, then the members area is going to help you. Or perhaps if you've got some questions about the defense of a different team or the attack of a different team, or maybe who's got the best fixtures coming up, all that sort of thing, then all of that is going to be available to you in full interactive fashion if you do sign up. Now, let's get started then. Arsenal defense, what's it been doing recently? Now, the best way to visualize this, to be honest, is actually using William Saliba's FPL profile, because he is basically the only one you can be confident is definitely going to start absolutely every match so far this season. He's played 90 minutes at the back for Arsenal in every single game so far. And yeah, it's been an interesting ride. He obviously has offered some attacking threat. And I should just say that this video is largely going to be focused on Arsenal defence specifically, in the sense that comparing Saliba and his goal threat and his attacking threat versus kind of all the other defenders is quite difficult to do when a lot of people haven't played their game week 15 fixture so far. So apologies if you were coming into this hoping to really have a look at what Saliba can offer outside of the Arsenal clean sheet. We will obviously be talking about defenders in the videos building into game week 16 in the next few days. So if that's something you'd like to have a look at, then yeah, my little disclaimer is that yeah, this is more going to be about the defense. It just so happens that Saliba's the one who can visualize Arsenal's defense the best. So game week one, of course, they were home to Nottingham Forest, did not keep a clean sheet there. Saliba, of course, did get an assist. They went and kept a clean sheet away at Crystal Palace in game week two, but then conceded two at home to Fulham in game week three. They conceded against Man United in a 3-1 win in game week four, also at home. So in the first four matches, it was just one clean sheet for them, but there was some improvement across the first eight. So across the first eight matches of the season, we saw four clean sheets for Arsenal in that time. They then went to keep a clean sheet away at Everton in game week 5. They also got themselves a shutout in a 4-0 away win at Bournemouth in game week 7, and famously a 1-0 win over Man City in game week 8. So we got 4 clean sheets from the first 8 from Arsenal. However, since that time, it really has been slim picking. So between game week 9 and 15, it's just 2 clean sheets from a possible 7. They've come in a 5-0 home win against Sheffield United and a 1-0 away win at Brentford. And some of the more disappointing moments on this list where we were perhaps expecting something, because of course the game week 9 game with Chelsea and of course the game week 11 match away at St James's Park perhaps weren't expecting defensive returns. However, we had a game week 12 home match against Burnley that was a 3-1 win rather than a 3-0. We had a 2-1 home win against Wolves that was again a 2-1 home win rather than a home shutout against a team that at times this season has looked a little bit unsure in front of goal, and of course short Neto as well. And then to go away to Luton, who have been improving, it must be said, but I've still definitely been one of the worst teams in the Premier League so far this season, and concede 3 goals and have to rely on a late 97th minute winner to win that game 4-3. It really does sort of send some alarm bells ringing around the Arsenal clean sheet potential. So yeah, some drop-off, certainly, but also some disappointing ones in the early part of the season as well. The home game against Forest, the home game against Fulham in game weeks 1 and 3, we probably would have been expecting something there. Now, the problem is that Arsenal are increasingly becoming something of an enigma. Now, in the past, Arsenal's defence has been, you look at the numbers, they're not very good. They can concede lots of shots, concede lots of big chances, and that's why, in the past, they have caused a lot of trust issues. The problem is, right now, is that their numbers are actually pretty good. For as much as I've just complained there, they've had 6 clean sheets so far this season. These numbers, I will obviously just clarify, do not take into account the rest of the game week 15 matches, but they're joint top for that so far. But it is only 6, and it must be said that this Arsenal clean sheet issue is actually kind of part of a broader problem with FPL defences right now, in that we are just seeing fewer clean sheets than we are used to, which does make picking defenders much harder. That's a big reason why when you're looking for a replacement defender, it is quite a difficult task. But, you know, in terms of the pack, Arsenal, unfortunately, are one of the ones that the numbers are telling you to go for. That's for the whole season. This is clean sheets for the last 6. Now, as I said, there has been some drop-off. So just 2 in the last 6. Liverpool, Man United and Newcastle are joint best for that. But they still only had 3. So, which is, you know, 50% of the time, that's not too bad. But when you look at the fixtures that Arsenal have had across the last few, you would have expected more than 2 clean sheets. Now, we should say that Arsenal's fixtures between game week 1 and 8 and between game weeks 9 and 10, they were a bit nicer between game weeks 1 and 8. There's a lot more blue on the season ticker, as you can see on the screen, for the first 8. And perhaps maybe it's not too surprising that they get 4 clean sheets from a possible 8 there and just 2 from a possible 7 in the second run of games, because you had Chelsea, Newcastle and Brentford all away from home. But home matches against Sheffield United, Burnley, Wolves and Luton away are all matches that you would obviously want to target with an Arsenal defender, and many of you have, and many of you have been disappointed, and that of course is what has led us to this point. Now, I mentioned that the numbers are somewhat enigmatic, and here is why. Because it's not just the comparison of Arsenal defence in terms of keeping clean sheets compared to the rest of the league, where they've looked pretty good. They've also looked pretty good in terms of how often or how rarely they are giving up opportunities that should, in theory, lead to a goal. So, on the screen right now is Arsenal in their last 6 matches with shots in the box conceded as the top table and big chances conceded as the bottom one. Now, as I've said before, the other defences here, some of them haven't played their game week 15 fixture yet. But obviously, Arsenal still in a fantastic position on this table anyway. So Arsenal, in the last 6 matches, no Premier League team has conceded more shots in the box than Arsenal, despite the fact that they've only kept clean sheets in 2 of the last 6, and some of those have been against rubbish attacks. And then in terms of the big chances conceded, just 7 big chances conceded. Only Newcastle have allowed fewer than that in that time. So the question is, why on earth are we seeing them not delivering on those clean sheets? And that's what we really want to find out, which is, of course, what venue Arsenal are playing in, because that seems to make some difference to their defensive output in a way that it's just going to create more trust issues. I do apologise, people. So, this is how Arsenal have been getting on at home this season. Now, there is a bit of a disparity here because they played 8 games at home and they played 7 games away. But there is, you know, a few things that we can extrapolate here. They have like we saw with their sort of overall season and the last six, conceded a relatively decent number of shots at home, in the sense that only two teams have actually conceded fewer shots in their home matches so far this season: Aston Villa and Man City. Man City with 49 shots at home conceded so far, Villa with 56, Arsenal with 57. Arsenal have played more than these guys, which actually in a way makes it more impressive, because those two teams above them naturally would have conceded fewer shots at home, considering they played fewer games at home. So not doing too badly there. Now, the big difference here is the number of big chances Arsenal have conceded at home is 12. Now, for that particular stat, we've got Forest, Liverpool, Palace, Everton, Man City, Villa and Newcastle have all conceded fewer big chances at home than Arsenal. Now, again, there is a little bit of jiggery-pokery here because some of those teams have played fewer matches. But the point is that right now, at the time of recording, Arsenal are third best for shots conceded. But they're way outside of being in the top two or three for big chances conceded, which means effectively it takes fewer shots at the Emirates to create a big chance against Arsenal than it does some of these other teams. And sometimes that's when you start to identify that a team has an issue. Maybe they're not conceding all that many shots at a venue, but if there's a relatively high proportion of those shots being big chances, it means that there's a problem. And do you know who that reminds me of? It reminds me of Manchester City. And I suppose we shouldn't be all that shocked, because the style of football that Arsenal have played is obviously from the sort of Pep Guardiola school of thinking, with those inverted fullbacks stepping in, and it's based around having extra possession, leaving a lot of space behind you that theoretically is relatively easy to exploit if you can beat the press of the midfield, the aggressiveness of the pass, and the gambling on those extra passes, so that, you know, you've got a team that's constantly trying to move the ball forward. And as long as the passing is going okay, it's going to be fine, isn't it? Because then it means you just defend via possession. And it's no surprise to see that that error I talked about with Zinchenko at the weekend basically came from the fact that he was trying a bit of a risky pass. It didn't come off, resulted in a goal. And we're starting to see that, I think, happen with Arsenal a little bit more. Now, when you look at the Arsenal numbers at home, I think going into the season, I think they'd kept like 4 clean sheets in their last 23 at home. It looks like this is the reason why. And you can sort of compare and contrast that with what Arsenal are like away from home, where we see a much different story, where they are in the top two for fewest shots in the box conceded across their away matches. Only Man City have conceded fewer than them, but they are also in the top two for fewest big chances conceded. So the disparity between shots in the box versus big chance is a completely different ratio away from home. You know, it takes a lot more shots in the box to generate a big chance against Arsenal when they're on the road than it does against Arsenal when they're at home. And of course, when they're away from home, they do play slightly more defensive football. They're less inclined to try and win around controlling the ball and having possession and playing a high line and things like that. And that seems to be underpinned a little bit of the defensive kind of difference between the two teams, a home Arsenal and an away Arsenal. Because when we look at what those underlying numbers have produced in terms of actual results, in terms of goals conceded and clean sheets, on the left-hand side at the top, we've got fantasy stats for Arsenal this season. Clean sheets at home, 0.2 per game, per home game this season, with them conceding one goal per game. Away from home, it's 0.6 clean sheets per game. On the road, 0.9 goals conceded away from home. So the interesting thing is, there isn't that much of a difference between goals conceded at home and away, but they are just keeping more clean sheets on the road. Despite the fact, as you'll see from down the bottom, again, the enigmatic nature of these numbers continues. They are conceding more chances when they're away from home, but it's just resolving itself into more clean sheets because they're more inclined to play defensive football, and you can see that here. So at home games this season, 7.2 shots conceded in the, and then 9.3 conceded away from home. Whether or not it's in the box, 4.9 per home game. Shots conceded in the box, 6.0 shots conceded in the box away from home. Big chances, 1.5 per game conceded at home, 1.1 per game conceded away. And then you go all the way down to the clearances, blocks and interceptions. Again, they're just busier as a defence when they're on the road. So 19.8 clearances, blocks and interceptions per game at the Emirates, 24.0 CBIs, as we call it. That's the official shortening of that. 24.0 CBIs per away match this season, you know? So that really is the difference between this Arsenal defense. We can trust them away from home better than we can at home, which is maybe helpful for people when they're looking to the future and working out what to do with their Arsenal defenders, because first things first, their fixtures are about to get much, much harder. They've got Villa, they've got Liverpool as two of their next three. They've got Brighton at home in game week 17. Well, we know Brighton can frustrate any of the big teams. So, you know, it makes you think, not really going to get many clean sheets there. West Ham at home and Crystal Palace at home in 19 and 21. To be honest, looking at these numbers, I'm worried about those matches too. Jared Bowen's fantastic on the road this campaign.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And Crystal Palace basically just never do what you expect them to. When you start your defenders against them, they'll score. And when you start Crystal Palace defenders against a rubbish attack, they'll concede three goals. So, you're never going to get what you want out of them. So of those matches coming up, the only one where I feel like we can feasibly rely on a clean sheet is probably the Fulham match away in game week 20. Yes, of course, Aston Villa and Liverpool are road matches for Arsenal in the next three, but we know enough about those teams' attacks at home that we would be a bit nervous. So the thing is, as much as everybody's been clamouring for an Arsenal defender at the moment, if I'm honest, I look at those fixtures and I look at the way that the Arsenal defence has been operating of late, and I think I would sell my Arsenal defender if I had one. Now, I don't have one. And so if you're watching this and you're in the same boat of you feel a little bit sort of left out because you don't have an Arsenal defender, well, you might not be feeling that way after a 4-3 win over Luton. But I think they are now no longer, a team to invest in. You know, we've missed the boat. There were some good fixtures, and they did get the odd clean sheet, but it wasn't as reliable and as regular as we were hoping and expecting. That's borne out in the numbers. Once you look deep enough, if you look at the numbers on the surface, it tells you this is a team's defence to invest in. But actually, when you compare things like shots in the box versus big chances conceded, you have a look at the conversion rate between good defensive numbers and actual clean sheets kept and goals conceded and where that's happened and who it's against, that kind of thing. It does start to give you the picture of a defence that is harder to trust than we'd really like. And you know what? We haven't even talked about in this video the sort of rotation threat that we have seen at times from the Arsenal defence this season. It's few niggling kind of complaints about the goalkeeper situation, for example. So it just doesn't feel like a place I want to go near with my fantasy options right now. And a lot of what I've had a look at here just almost kind of confirms what I'd been sort of thinking anyway. And so, yeah, that's my conclusion from this. If you've got an Arsenal defender and you're sort of planning for the future, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world to start thinking about who you can move away from, depending on what other problems you've got, of course, because, you know, perhaps maybe benching your Arsenal defender and then bringing them back in for that Fulham game is maybe not the worst thing in the world if you can get the rest of your team operating. And then to those of you out there, of course, who don't have an Arsenal defender, I think my message to you is don't worry about it. We've missed the opportunity to go there. It hasn't rewarded those who've gone for it as much as they would have liked, depending on who they've gone for. Of course, Ben White has got an attacking return, for example. So there has been a few little success stories within it, but I don't think we have to be too worried about not investing in it for now. So that's the conclusion that I've reached from having a look at all of that. Now, as I've said, all of what you've seen is from the Fantasy Football Scout members area. I hope it was useful for you guys. If it's a bit of a taster of what you could have in the if you had your membership and you wanted to see a little bit more, that 7-day trial is really going to help you. And of course, make sure that you get that 20% discount as well before the Game Week 16 deadline. It's going to be really, really helpful. And if you sign up whilst the Game Week 15 matches are ongoing, you can sort of see all of the live match data come in as and when that drops into the members area. It all falls in at full time for those matches. So that will, of course, be very useful for you. Now, if you've liked this video, found it useful, please, please, please hit that like button. It's a great way to support the channel, and it's completely free as well, as is subscribing to our channel. and hitting that bell notification as well. We're trying to reach as many of you guys this year so that we can be confident that when we are putting out our new videos with that bell notification going straight to your notifications on YouTube, you know there's a new video to check out and it's going to help you with your FPL team. That's going to make us feel like we're doing our jobs properly. So make sure you subscribe and so we can feel happy that we're reaching absolutely everybody with our advice. But with that, I shall leave you fine folks to enjoy the rest of your week and I shall see you next time. Goodbye.